Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
It's the Wrestling Inc. Podcast. It's a podcast about wrestling. Sometimes it's about Raw. Sometimes it's about SmackDown. Sometimes it's about AEW Dynamite. But tonight, it's about NXT. Jack Farmer, Glenn Rubenstein, they're holding it down for you, talking about the show you just watched. Or maybe you didn't watch it, maybe you just watched the podcast. But that's okay, because they got you. They're here to tell you what happened on the show that just went off the air. It's Wrestling Inc. It's NXT. The go-home show for Vengeance Day. They'll cover it all. Starting in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Tuesday night, and that means it's time for the NXT Wrestling Inc. after show. And if we got a show for you, Joe Gacy's going in the trash. We've got the Dusty Cup finals all set, and a calendar is for sale. I can't wait to see if Glenn has purchased it already. But before we get into all of that, let me introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by, I just said his name. I mean, we know the introduction is kind of redundant at this point. Glendalyn, how you feeling?
Doing well, man. Doing well. You know, there's no better time to sell a calendar than the end of January.
Yes, this is the hot time for calendar sales. I'm sure this is the like discount time for calendars. This is where like you get all the calendars that didn't get sold initially.
You missed 1 month, but we're gonna give you it for half off. So it's really like you're getting 6 months free.
Yeah, it's an interesting time. We'll definitely get into all of that. Before we get into it, though, just without giving away the show, you and I were talking a little bit off air, and I want to just mention it here is we NXT, just when you're looking at the X's and O's and how it's drawn up and put together, really week in and week out, one of the best wrestling shows. They do not waste your time with like everything is done for a reason on this show. And you may not love it all. You may not, you know, you may hate some of it, but it's a well put together show every week.
Yeah. Oh my God. And this is not a wrestling program. This is a TV show that happens to feature wrestling in it. I loved how they opened tonight's show with the previously on. And it's like, I was watching a recap of Melrose Place or 90210. You know, they're just telling me.
Literally on Twitter, I said the same thing. I said every great TV show has a recap to start to catch you up on what's going on. And NXT does that every week. It's always great. And it reminds me all the stuff that happened. So I'm not like, oh, yeah, what's this? But also it's smart because it focuses us on the things we're going to be looking at on this week's episode, which is just very smart. It's just a very well put together show.
And if you think those Melrose Place and Beverly Hills 90210 references are timely, you have a lot in common with a 58-year-old man who runs NXT who thinks that people still buy calendars.
Well, you know, I mean, forget the Melrose Place, forget the Beverly Hills. I was all about silk stockings after Raw.
Oh, my God. What was the show with bike cops that Mario Lopez was on?
Pacific Blue coming through every Sunday after heat. I mean, Glenn, this is the one thing I hate. We're going to get on a little old man rant here. And everyone in the chat, thanks for being here. Like, comment, share, subscribe before we do our old man rant. Back in the day, this is one of my biggest gripes about today's wrestling landscape. It has nothing to do with whether or not super kicks finish matches or what kind of characters are on TV. But back in the day, wrestling was like paired with some show that went on after it. There was always like a great show that came on after it. And I use the term great show recklessly here.
Very watchable show.
Yeah, there was always like a show after that was just almost as memorable as the show you were watching, as the wrestling show. We even got here Armando saying La Femme Nikita.
Yeah.
That was another good one.
Now it's just sandwiched in between showings of the movie The Accountant. You know,
every single week. I've seen the end of The Accountant about 1,000 times.
And I thought The Accountant's a really good movie, but yes, it's like I've seen the end of that movie so many times. It's like I've seen the end of every SVU episode going into a WWE product. It's going to be interesting when it's on Netflix and when Raw's on Netflix and NXT moves to the CW. You know?
Yeah. I hope they get some good shows to bookend it because, like I said, I think that's so important. I mean, no offense to Chicago Fire, but I have to get on this show. You and I, we have to talk like normal people. And on Chicago Fire, I'm watching that, and they have the most gravelly voices in all the world. Everyone in Chicago apparently talks like this whenever they're dealing with stuff. I don't know if you noticed Killer of Demons throwing out Dark Angel, another good one here.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what's on the CW. So we're going to basically be watching reruns of The Big Bang Theory before NXT. If the CW schedule holds,
we already get that with, we get that with AEW too. That's there you no go. Fun.
I know.
Sheldon has taken over the world. We just have to, appreciate it. Speaking of taking over the world, we got some news items here and, first and foremost, this is one that I feel like is a little bit of a red herring. It's why I don't think there's really news to it, but apparently people are all freaking out because all of Okada's merchandise is coming off of pro wrestling tees. And so all of our internet sleuths are saying that means he's going to WWE. Glenn, is this a story about nothing?
It goes off in 12 hours, which is the 31st, which is the end of January when his New Japan contract is up. And this is his New Japan co-owned, co-branded, co-designed merchandise. So this is actually very common. And he's leaving New Japan. We know that. This doesn't necessarily foretell that Okada merchandise is coming to WWE shop, where I believe as a Vengeance Day, you'll be able to find that Chase U calendar. I don't see it there now.
Yeah. So I think that's much ado about nothing. I don't think there's anything there. But something that I think might be interesting, Dave Meltzer has said that he believes that two members of the House of Black, Buddy Matthews and Malachi Black, are likely headed out and going back to the WWE once their contracts are up. This is one, I feel like this is that like speculation. Great. I mean, I feel like this is the kind of news you can say is news, but then if it doesn't happen, you could be like, things changed.
Yeah.
What do you think about this? Do you think that this is a real story? These two might be leaving. Do you think that's a good idea? What are your thoughts on this whole situation?
I mean, what are they going to do? Right. I mean, it's maybe they stay with AEW, maybe they go back to WWE, but it seems like if those are their options, you know, what else is there? New Japan? I mean, they're not going to go take an offer at TNA. Instead, if they're used to AEW money, and WWE money has got to be comparable. So I don't know. I think it's just fun to speculate about these things when contracts are up, but it's like, based on TV lately, do you think Drew McIntyre is going to AEW if he doesn't resign with WWE?
No, not after Monday.
Not after Monday.
And it's also always one of those things where, like you said, there's the two big companies in the WWE. So I think every single wrestler in America right now with a contract coming up is saying, well, I'll possibly be at either one of those places. Like, I don't think that's news. I think everyone says that. Who's going to pay me the most?
It's probably good for their negotiating power with AEW for them to think they're going to WWE and vice versa.
Right. So you should be doing that. That's how negotiations work. If I wasn't so scared of our overlords at Static Media Tower, I'd probably try those games too. But as it is, I just say, I'll work 100 of these shows in a row, whatever you say, boss.
Jack's like, I'm pretty much unhirable at this point, so you don't have to worry. I'm not going anywhere.
Well, speaking of people who aren't going anywhere, I want to give a shout out to everyone who joins us week in and week out in the chat. You guys are always such a fun part of the show, and you really hold things down. That's whether you're Sunny Sitar, Killer of Demons, Cool Gamer, Ricky Zaldivar, Tommy O, Alicia A, Max Feldman, Luis Rivera, Beer Money, Baby Ice, Spencer Webb, Nelly Belly, D Walker, and of course, stalking you with that puppy emoji that I don't know if there's an inside joke to, but I always like to shout it out because I like dogs. Mike Martin, see you sneaking in the chat there as
Armando,
well.
Armando, good to see you again.
Give you guys shout outs. But also, Glenn, I always like to give a shout out to those who are maybe not in the chat. They just like to watch the show, but they're maybe a little introverted, don't want to say anything. The lurkers, as I call them. Shout out to all our lurkers. Thank you guys so much for being here as well. Like, comment, share, subscribe, as always. Glenn.
Yeah.
We had a good episode. We had a good event for NXT today. Dusty Cup Finals, semifinals, kick things off. The LWO taking on Trick Mello Gang. And that Trick comes in strong already. Banger of a matchup. Felt like this could have been the finale. Carmelo and Trick get the win. We got a post-match Obafemi attack on the LWO. Dragon Lee tries to make the save, but Obafemi just goes Incredible Hulk on both of them. And of course, later, Trick Mello Gang have a heartfelt conversation to get on the same page backstage later in the show. Lots of stuff here. I want your thoughts on this opening part of the show, but also, I guess, just give me your overall thoughts and we'll go from there. I have some follow-up questions, but just I'll let you take it away.
Well, I mean, I feel bad because I bet all my money on LWO. I thought they were locked to win this.
Did you really?
No, I didn't, of course.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it was a great match, except for the fact that we all knew the outcome 1,000%. I would have bet everything I had that Trick and Mel were winning this, because the interesting story is Trick wrestling twice at Vengeance Day, once in the Dusty Finals and once for the NXT Championship. So I thought LWO had a good showing here. They did what they needed to do. They put on a serviceable match, but you always knew this was going to win with Trick and Carmelo moving to the finals to face the Wolf Dogs.
Will the LWO in the near future anyways ever get that threat feeling like they could be a champion team? Or is this kind of, as far as the LWO goes, sort of run its course?
It's really weird, right? Because now Legado is like beating the LWO. Santos is being seen as this threat. So it's like we're kind of left, with JC, Joey, Chris, and Lance there, while Justin's moved on to his solo career and he's hanging out with Jimmy Fallon now.
Not only a solo career, but he also got some cool new friends also. So it's like when Justin Timberlake started doing stuff with like Jay-Z and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, you're
like,
oh, that's what I'm saying. He's hanging out with Timbaland and Pharrell, you know?
So I want to talk real quick about, first off, I got to say this, because people have been implying this forever, whether you're on the show NXT or on Twitter or whatever, they've been acting like Carmelo Hayes has done something wrong. Like Carmelo Hayes has been a bad guy here. I keep saying never at any point has Carmelo Hayes really ever done anything wrong. Why do we doubt this guy? He's been so good to us, Glenn.
Because that's the story we want, right? Do you want, coming out of Vengeance Day this Sunday on Peacock, do you want it to be that Trick and Mello go on to win those tag team championships and ride off into the sunset together? Mm-hmm. Or do you want that they lose that match? Maybe Trick wins against Dragunov. Carmelo's jealousy finally shows itself. They keep walking it back. Every time they've had something that made it seem like, oh, maybe there's a rift there, they keep walking it back. But I think people want that one-on-one feud.
You know, there's nothing I like more in pro wrestling, Glenn, than friendship. And so I hope that this friendship does not come to an end. Now, this is a, Alicia A, by the way, saying, Jack, I'm still holding on to hope that Mello didn't beat up Trick. He didn't. He's good. Baby Ice says, I love heels, and even I can see Mello's low-key shenanigans. No, he's a good guy. Also, real quick, I want to give a shout out to the car man live too from Hammond, Indiana.
Yeah, thanks what's
for
up?
Tuning in. This is a little cross promotional question here, Glenn, because this might get us some heat, as they call it, on the inside.
We turn up the air conditioning.
A very little bit ago, AEW had a situation where their top champion was in their main event had a tag team title match earlier in the night, same show. Now we're in a situation, Trick, not a title match, is in a tag team number one contendership situation on the same show that he's fighting for the title. It's essentially the same situation. Should NXT be getting the same kind of flack that AEW got, or is this different?
A Trick, search Mello's locker for a devil mask.
What if there was one?
Wouldn't that be
amazing? I mean, the devil did have a shirt that said, I am him, so...
Yeah, I mean, this feels different in some ways, but Carmelo's not going to no-show. It's not going to be a two-on-one, although that would be interesting. But no, I think Killer Demons nailed it. Trick versus Mello, stand and deliver. Like, and yes, and bring Pretty Deadly back to host that.
Pretty Deadly should just host everything. Like, they everything should. They do. Absolutely. Could you imagine them hosting, like, yeah, Halloween Havoc? They'd be great. They'd be hilarious.
Slammies, you know.
Elimination Chamber, whatever. Even serious stuff. Like Hell in a Cell. Have them host it. It'd be fantastic.
Come on, do the In Memoriam and the 10 Bell Salute. I mean, just everything.
They host everything.
Yes. I'm with you. No, I think Trick and Mello, this is long-term storytelling. This is what NXT excels at. And I think that Vengeance Day is going to be a hell of a PLE. But I think that if this doesn't kick off Sunday, I mean, it's kicking off soon because this is the Mania weekend stand and deliver story. Is Trick versus Mello for that title.
Killer Demon saying Trick versus Mello at stand and deliver. Seems to be on the same page. Nelly Belly says... but it makes sense with how the storyline is going.
A little slow roll on it because I feel like we've been waiting for this for a bit. NXT, something weird is up now that I think about it. Even the way that what they did with Dragunov getting injured and delaying the match with Trick, the Chase U thing, how long has the Chase U thing been going on? And JC Jane's idea we've known about for like over a month now. I have a feeling that because of the Rumble and them not being sure about call-ups, and some other stuff, I feel like they kind of had to slow the roll a little bit, but I think Vengeance Day to stand and deliver is going to be that home stretch for a lot of these storylines to come to their conclusion.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be stand and deliver is going to really go up against WrestleMania, I think, in a lot of ways. Yeah. I mean, obviously star power for WrestleMania is going to be undeniable, but you know, like it's going to be a really good show. Now after the match, and this is something I want to just get your quick thoughts on before moving on. Obafemi, yeah, comes out, and I feel like he's built as just the perfect monster for NXT right now. I love the idea of what Obafemi did here. I love the idea that he beat up three guys. I love that he looked dominant. I love the moment where they all kind of were beating down on him, and he, you know, stood up and sent them flying. I get it. I get why it happened, and I like the overall result. But in my mind, I'm thinking, it doesn't make any sense that he just attacked the LWO out of nowhere, and that's bothering me, Glenn.
I feel like with both Oba and Dragon Lee, they have the least clear storyline of anything in NXT right now. I feel like everything else is so much more developed and clear. I feel like this is just kind of like, oh, we should probably do a match with these guys. And Dragon Lee, though, I feel like kind of the same thing, right? He's on the main roster, kind of, but he's also in NXT, like... I think I don't think they have the right vehicle for him right now. And I think maybe some of the returns and some of the Mania build maybe derail Dragon Lee on the main roster a little bit. So this is his consolation prize, this NXT rerun that he's getting.
Yeah, it's going to be great stuff overall. Sure. It's just kind of like Obafemi doesn't have a problem with the LWO, and the way he's carried himself is that he's not just, I'm going to run out and attack people. He's more of a, you've got to prove yourself to me before I don't know. So it just felt very out of place. Yeah. I guess I get it, but just, I don't know. I wish there was a reasoning for it a little bit more. I have one last question on Obafemi here, and I wrote it down because I forgot that Issa is not going to be joining us. So I need you to channel your inner Issa for this question. You like big, meaty men. Is Obafemi in the stable?
Put.
Glenn?
Put.
Yeah, I think Oba counts.
Obafemi's in the stable. So this counts, by the way. That goes on Issa's official record going forward. Yeah. Just FYI.
Stable, though, that's kind of like horses, which, where do you find horses? At a ranch.
At a ranch. But before we get into the ranch stuff, I've got it. We got some stuff going down with Tatum Paxley and Lyra Valkyria.
Oh my God. This is so good.
This has sneakily just skyrocketed into one of my favorite things in wrestling right now. Tatum Paxley just trying to be a good friend, the most misunderstood person in all of pro wrestling right now. She has a match with Roxanne Perez. Roxanne gets the win. She tries to attack Perez afterwards, but Perez beats her up, so Valkyria pulls her off. Glenn, why, I guess I'm going to go to the top. Why is Tatum Paxley so misunderstood? She's like the best friend you could ask for.
So here's the realization I just had. HBK in the early to mid 90s, all that time when he was on the road, people think DX was partying. He was in hotels watching 90210 and Melrose Place and ordering single white female. Probably thought it was a different type of movie, ordering that on pay-per-view or watching it on HBO. And this is where all the storylines make sense. Where Tatum is single white femaling Lyra Valkyria. She wore the same gear. I'm just waiting for her to get the same haircut. But yeah, she wants to be the best friend that Lyra's ever had. And this is wonderful. That whole thing, she's very good at playing dense to when Lyra's trying to clearly just be like, I don't want this. I don't want this. And she's like, oh, I understand. You know, but even that thing with the feather backstage, like, this is great. This is TV. And that's what wrestling is missing so much of these days.
Alicia A is saying she's a stalker. I mean, no. I mean, look, how are we going to judge Glenn? Everyone's like, A, you can't trust Carmelo. He's devious. He's shady. Now you have Tatum, who's just nothing but love for her friend. Nothing but trying to give and help. And now we're like, well, that's not right either. People got to make up their mind, Glenn.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder if we're going to get a wrinkle where Tatum is going to claim they were like separated at birth or something. And she was adopted overseas and an ocean has kept them apart. But, you know,
this is, you know, I always say the best villain, not villain, but like the best characters, the ones that maybe don't do good all the time or don't do the obvious thing all the time, but it still makes sense to them. You know what I mean? And Tatum Paxley is exactly that. She is doing everything that you would think that she would like, you know, I guess, you know what I'm saying? It's not like I don't like it. Like the worst was, and no offense to Edge, but the worst was when he was a good guy for a long time and then just out of nowhere for some reason was like, the fans turned on me. And we're like, what are you talking about? We were cheering our minds out for you a little bit ago. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And then that whole thing didn't work.
Sorry, I'm just thinking, remember,
doing makes sense.
Sorry, remember that promo Becky tried to cut, turning heel, of saying, were you really cheering for me though? And the crowd's like, yeah, we were.
Yeah, but what are you talking about?
One of the worst main roster promos ever. But Tatum Paxley, though, is doing phenomenal work. And do you think she costs Lyra the title at Vengeance Day somehow?
No.
Okay. So you think Lyra retains?
I think Lyra retains. And I think that, or I don't think it's Tatum that causes it, because if Tatum does something that causes it, and similar to what you were saying, the stories are slowing down.
Yeah.
If Tatum ruins this for Lyra, then Lyra is just going to have a fight with her.
Yeah.
If Tatum helps her, well, now Lyra is in a situation where you did help me win.
Yeah, it needs to be a smarter version. Like with R-Truth and Judgment Day last week in the main event, that pushed the boundaries of believability of how clueless R-Truth could be to what was going on when he cost Priest that match.
Right.
You know, I think this is a little, I think Tatum is smarter than that. And I think the writing on this is a little less broadly comedic.
We got a few comments on this. Luis saying, great storyline. Spencer says, Tatum wants to be Lyra's solo Sokoa. And then a few comments, like this one from Nelly Belly saying, Trish Stratus and Mickey James rehashed. I don't care if stories are rehashed, as long as they're done in an entertaining way.
Yeah, I mean, there's really only five stories.
Yeah, I mean, you can actually go deep into this. And yeah, there really literally is like five stories in life.
Well, maybe not that few. But so, like somebody said, there's like legitimately only 17 sitcom plots in existence. So like
it may not be five, but there is like a breakdown of like how stories are written and how really it's like. There's not really that many. It all kind of, everything kind of fits into certain things.
Well, if you think about it, yeah, it's like when you have two people, they're enemies. They're indifferent to each other. They're an odd couple. They're really good friends. One person wants to be the other person's friend and the other person doesn't. It's like, there's only so many things you can do.
I got a couple quick fire Please. Questions for you here. Scale of 1 to 10, where do you rate Lyra's run as champion? 1 being the worst that they've ever had in NXT, 10 being the greatest they've ever had in NXT. Where do you put it so far? If it ended today,
I think,
or if it ended at Vengeance Day,
I think the problem is since Mandy Rose left, I don't think we've gotten above like for quality of championship reign in terms of being memorable. I don't think we've gotten above like a, B minus, and that includes Tiffany Stratton, unfortunately, not because of her in-ring ability, but her promos in front of the audience. Like once she won, it was just kind of boring. She's actually been a much more interesting character not having the title. You know, I think Becky was good, but even with Becky, like it was, I'd say Becky's probably the only one above a B minus, but that's because it was Becky Lynch and it was cool. She was in NXT for a minute, but I think that, they need a long-term women's champion. I don't want another Asuka or Shayna length run or even a Mandy Rose length run, but I think that we have to find the talent that's going to elevate that title, not only be able to wrestle. I'm not saying anything about their wrestling ability, by the way. This entirely comes down to promos and their ability to command an audience. And let me talk about command of an audience for a second. Look at the way an audience responds to Trick. Look at tonight. During that Chase U promo, not a what chant. Everyone was super cool. For whatever reason, and Issa and I have talked about this, I think the next definitive NXT Women's Champion, it's all going to come down to their ability to get the crowd on their side with a mic in their hand in the NXT ring. And for whatever reason, that hasn't really... It connected for Roxanne for like a week, but I don't think anyone has held that role convincingly yet, aside from Becky Lynch.
Well, it's really, they were put in a tough spot with, they put everything behind Mandy Rose, and the fact that she was gone right after losing the title, it makes it tough to sort of start from ground zero again. And I think that's kind of where they were at that point.
And Roxanne had really a lot of goodwill that first week or two, but then it just kind of, it didn't feel, unfortunately, she just wasn't at Mandy's level in terms of star power, gravitas. Again, there's nothing to do with wrestling ability, just the ability to command that crowd with a mic in her hand.
Is Roxanne Perez, she was in the Royal Rumble. I think she accounted very well for herself. Do you think that her time in NXT is now officially limited now that she's been seen by main roster eyeballs?
It's so stacked on the main roster for women right now. And we have Tiffany Stratton that, I mean, I don't need somebody to tell me she was called up. Like, she's on the main roster. Naomi's back. You know where the real opportunity is in the women's division between now up until Money in the Bank, like post-Mania? The real opportunity is in the tag division. Because I think that with Asuka and Kari having those titles, now you can build the division around them. And so I think that unless you're Jade, Bianca, Rhea, Becky, Bayley, or Io, I think you best get a tag team going if you want matches on the regular on main roster TV.
Luis saying Roxanne deserves a second run here. This is the last question for this part. And I'm going to give you the honor code. I hope you can't look.
No.
You're going to have to pull. You're going to have to pull this up from memory. Spell Lyra Valkyria.
L-Y-R-A-V-A-L-K-Y-R-I-A.
You got it. I get it wrong every time I try to write it. It was so, that Y, I never know where the Y goes. I put it in a different spot every
time. I still can't figure out if it's Lyra or Lyra, so I just keep alternating every time I say it. That's how.
Yeah, that's a tough one. We get Lola Vice versus Electra Lopez. It was on the faster side.
Kind of abbreviated. Yeah.
Lola gets a knockout blow to get the win or a pin, but she gets the kick in. Speaking of moving to the main roster, Lopez seems like she's got one foot out the door and headed to SmackDown to join Legado. Do you think she's ready? Do you think she'll stand out on that main roster that, as we said, is pretty stacked?
Yeah, because I think that with Legado and LWO, I think with Zelina, this gives Zelina something to do. And kind of the same thing, right? Like, Zelina just got herself a slot. You know, she doesn't have to form a tag team now. She could be a singles match once a month, and then they're going to do faction wars, you know. But I could see, if it's not announced for the card already, I could see them blowing off Electra and Lola this weekend somewhere on the card of Vengeance Day. Just have it be definitively done.
What do you think the odds are that Lola Vice wins her cash in?
I think they need to book a bit more of a run up to it. But honestly, right now, look, the women's division in NXT is stacked with talent, but I don't think there is a clear women's champion right now. Like, I mean, I say that because Nikita Lyons hasn't been on TV, and I hope she's well and recovering. Sol Ruka, you know, I think when she comes back, also could contend. Blair, I think Blair's good as a heavy, but I think they booked her inconsistently. I think Lash, man, if they booked Lash Legend credibly, I would love to see Lash as women's champion.
I predicted on another show back in November that 2024, the women's breakout star in NXT was going to be Lash Legend. I think she's gonna have a massive year. I think she's, by the end of this year, we're going to be talking about her as the champion, or at least potentially being the champion, or she's going to be in that spot. I think she's got everything you're looking for.
You know what, too, man? She will solve the mic problem because she'll have the metaphor with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lash is a really interesting choice. I like that. I think Lash as champion is a really interesting choice.
Because, yeah, she's also, I mean, she can talk, too. She's got her own personality. She's got a strong personality, so she doesn't just kind of blend in, because you're right. I think with NXT, there's so many big characters that if everyone's a big character, no one's a big character, I think might be the situation, if that makes sense. I just think Lash Legend is going to have a really big year.
Lola cash it in like Money in the Bank? Could she do a run-in?
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Sunday?
I feel like that was never the case before, but she almost did that recently. Yeah. So I don't hate
that idea.
I was thinking theoretically what might be good for Roxanne's story as well is if she did win and then Lola cashed in and took the title from her. And so
that's good for her story.
Because it's one of those things, she can never be like, the championship is always taken away from her before she gets to really do
that's
what she wants
so
to do.
So heartbreaking. It's gonna be like Charlie Brown in the football.
Exactly. That's what's great. And then, so then when she gets the real win, it's like, yay, she finally did it. But I'm not good at booking Glenn, so don't
know how they book Rox on the main roster. You know, and the honestly, in the challenges, I think because she is young and smaller in stature, the fact that every other post with her on social media is her as a kid, which, by the way, was like 10 years ago or less, like posing with current talent. I worry how they're going to book her on the roster. They're going to book her like she's Izzy, like Bayley superfan Izzy on the main roster. I worry about that.
It is always funny to me when someone's like, I've been working so long for this, and they're like 21 years old. I'm like, you haven't been around that long. What are you talking about?
I think Roxanne Perez is great, but I think like I use the term gravitas a lot. And I think that you have to have that air about you that makes just feels like, you know, she's gonna, I think she's gonna feel, which is funny too, because when Bayley got called up to the main roster and was in NXT, like Bayley was a little older in her like mid to late 20s and whatnot, but they still remember originally they played Bayley like Superfan. I'm worried that's how Rox is gonna get played on the main roster.
Yeah. It's hard to be the plucky underdog for very long on the main roster. Yeah. Like you can do it for like a little bit, but once you've won for a few months, you're no longer the plucky underdog. And if you're losing, then we just don't care.
But I like your idea to build sympathy in NXT though. I think actually, strangely, that will make her like, and speaking of Bayley, think about Bayley at TakeOver Brooklyn. Think about that story they told where it was like always adjacent to the champ, like every friend of hers got, you know, and then she was due and the crowd was so behind her. I think with Roxanne, that might work, your point of having her, if they feel like she's overlooked, you know, circumstances edge her out of things all the time. I think that's interesting. One, to make her seem more seasoned, and then two, to get crowd sympathy. That's a really interesting idea if she's sticking around in NXT for a while.
It's the old Cody Rhodes, make it take forever before it
happens. And then have Seth try and convince you, you really don't want that title. You want this title. Talk about a legacy. This title is a year old, Cody.
Hey, look, I don't think he's going to do it, but Seth Rollins made a hell of a sales pitch. I thought he did a great job, but
I agree.
He ain't. Cody's not going for that title. I'm sorry, but someone who's going for a ride into a dumpster is Joe Gacy. Gacy's bugging Dijak in his office and says, you're not getting rid of me. So Dijak throws him into a dumpster. Glenn, this is something that NXT also does well. We keep talking about these long storylines and things. I feel like this is one they kind of just threw at us pretty quickly, and I'm excited for it. I think this is going to be fun pro wrestling. I think they're going to beat each other up. I think it's two crazy characters, and You know, it's obviously not Trick versus Dragunov, but
a great
mid card
match, though, or an opening match. No DQ. So I think it's going to be good. I was watching Signs of Joe and Ava because I'm like, I still think Ava's going to reveal herself as the mastermind. And this was the whole takeover of NXT with her as GM. You know?
But at this point, she has taken over. What is
Schism. Schism has taken over, and Ava's in control.
But Ava can just leave them high and dry now. She's already got her spot.
I know. But no, this was fun, and I loved with Ava the segment with Lexus King. Lexus bringing the gift basket, and then getting put in this match with Ridge Holland.
Yeah, it's Lexus King, by the way, quickly becoming an MVP of NXT, in my opinion. Of course, Rich Holland, he wants to fight all three members of Gallus. Ava won't let him. So when Lexus is giving her a gift basket of stuff of his stuff, she makes the match. Of course, Lexus King and Rich Holland have their match. Gallus gets involved. So Lexus King gets the win. And then, of course, they take out Rich Holland's knee afterwards. There's a few things going on here, but I want to talk about Lexus King first. As I said, I feel like he's becoming an MVP for them. And dare I say, his own character, it's his own version, but he's kind of becoming a Baron Corbin for NXT, where he's just that guy that is hated by everybody. And you can kind of just put him in the room with anybody else. And you're like, I hate that guy, so I want the other guy to beat him up.
It's all, you know, in a way. And I love Baron and the work he's doing, but in a way, Lexus has stumbled onto his bum-ass Corbin gimmick right out of the gate, because Lexus is the best at being the worst person that no one wants to be around. And with Baron started with the lone wolf thing. It didn't really get over. The constable thing, it didn't really get over. Dressing like you tend to bar at the Olive Garden, it didn't get over. And then bum-ass Corbett happened. Everyone was like, oh my God, this is great. He has a personality now. And I think since then, people still have a lot of love for him. So I think with Lexus has stumbled into being like the ultimate D-bag bro in NXT. And it is working so well.
I mean, he is truly one of my favorites right now, as far as he finds a new way to just be, like you said, the worst every time. And you're like, this guy is just, he's, and a lot of people made fun of his beard at first and stuff. And now you're like, yeah, you're supposed to hate it. He's a horrible person.
Which is funny because remember his vignettes and everyone was like, this is going to be so cool. He like, oh my God, his entrance, it's so cool. And now it's like, he's so not cool, but that's what makes him cool.
One of the underlying stories here is also that obviously Rich Holland can't face all of Gallus. He needs a partner. They keep alluding to who's going to be his partner, who's going to help him. Glenn, I ask you, who is going to help Rich Holland against Gallus?
Well, I guess it's not going to be Lexus King, or maybe it will be. Who knows?
Why would Lexus King ain't helping? That's what I love about Lexus King. I can tell you there's nothing that will get him to help.
I don't know. Is one of the Brawling Brutes free? Like, is Pete Dunne going to show up?
You know, even when they were beating up Ridge, I was thinking, what if, yeah, Lexus should help them and beat him up. This would be great. But even Lexus King's like, no, I don't help anybody.
Yeah.
Even when they're helping me out, I don't help anyone. I'm the worst.
Goodfellow 1422 is saying Sheamus would be a nice surprise.
Sheamus just coming back would be great. I don't really know what the deal is. Like,
wouldn't it be amazing, though, if Sheamus came back and he was tan?
Like, super well tanned.
Like, bronzing and, like, super well tanned.
Like, you're like, wow, like, this is, like a good, even, like, tan. We're just like, wow, you look really great.
If he comes back, like, he's been in the Caribbean, so he comes back with, like, a tan and, like, braids, like,
no, what would be great? So he comes out, he's got his shirt on, you know, his new merch on and everything, and he's super tan, looks great. And then he takes his shirt off to fight, and he's got the ultimate farmer's tan. It's like still super pale, but you don't notice it until he takes his shirt off.
Yes, that would be awesome.
Nelly Belly I like my Sheamus pale, white, and sickly looking. So we talk about Chase U.
Oh my God, the segment
we
tonight.
Didn't like so this is where like we throw around the phrase I'm gonna give it time in pro wrestling all the time, and I think no brand has earned that more than NXT, because when Chase U came out originally, we were like, what is this? This is stupid. This new NXT is horrible. But they're showing these this video, and I'm like so sad that Chase U's about to end.
I'm getting misty-eyed watching this, and my wife's like, are you crying? And I'm like, shut up. I've been along for the ride the entire time. This is very sad. Remember how great it was when this happened and this happened and this happened? And like, I was emotional.
It was so good. And I look at the Lexus King, where at first it was like, what is this guy doing? But now he's great. Like, NXT is so good about having these things where you're like, I'm not sure I like this, but then eventually you find yourself going, I love this group. I love this character. And of course we thought they were going to go out of business, but JC Jane arrives. She created the Chase U calendar. That is going to save the day.
In the year 2024, when everybody buys calendars.
Yes, we all have our calendars.
It only would have been more outdated if she tried to mint it as an NFT.
She'd probably make more money that way.
Or Chase Coin on the blockchain.
One, are you getting your Chase U calendar? But two, this is the most important question. They talk about how much money they're going to make from this. Will this cover the cost of tuition, or do the students that saved the school still have to pay for classes, Glenn?
I mean, maybe it does seem a little unfair, but and they should have brought Bodie back tonight for the Chase U goodbye. I miss Bodie in Chase U. But no, I think that this was really good. TBD on the quality of the calendar. I did buy a Rusev Day calendar like 5 years ago. I have it somewhere. I never actually used it. You know, on the Rusev Day calendar, every day is marked Rusev Day.
I love it.
And you know what's funny about the Rusev Day calendar? Post the year 2000, that is the only calendar I have bought, is the Rusev Day calendar.
Well, if you hold it onto it long enough, eventually it'll recycle.
It'll cycle back through. Yeah. But I don't know that I'm going to buy the Chase U calendar, but I think this makes sense for JC's character, given her past in Toxic Attraction. I think she was good tonight. And again, listen to the crowd. The crowd was so respectful during this segment. And we've talked about the challenges NXT has sometimes with the crowd. Like sometimes they're uninterested. Sometimes they're a little bit rowdy. It was amazing tonight to see the crowd reaction to this. So I don't know what's next for Chase U, but I think that this is probably the most over, even more over than Metaphor. Like this is the most over faction in NXT.
This was true, like really all things aside, like a really, and you rarely get this in pro wrestling, just like a really sweet story about
great recap video,
lovable losers, and JC Jane, who was the outcast, very Bad News Bears, the bad kid that joined the team and ends up helping save the team, and talking about being accepted even though she was, you know, a bad person before. It was actually a very like sweet moment. I was kind of worried something was going to happen to ruin it, but they just let it sit. And I think that was so smart of them, that this, wow, this is just a really nice moment in pro wrestling. You don't actually get those very often.
Thought it was great.
My favorite part of it though was at the end when Booker T angrily was like, how much does it cost? He was very upset that he didn't say the price. Like, geez, okay.
Don't make it weird, Booker. Don't make it weird.
Afterwards, of course, there was a quick moment where Lexus King wanted a signed calendar, but they blew him off. And Thea Hale said she likes Riley.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Glenn, there's going to be a weird love square here where people get their feelings hurt emotionally, and it's going to be a great story. I got a feeling JC Jane, Thea Hale, Riley Bourne, and Lexus King, there's going to be some broken hearts between.
Well, I'd say we'd have a mixed tag match, but what woman wants to side with Lexus King?
And which one doesn't want to side with Riley?
He's dreaming. So is Riley versus Lexus happening at Vengeance Day? Because we can't just have Chase U releasing this calendar and no Chase U match.
No, I don't think they're fighting. I think they'll do a segment where they're releasing the calendar, like, and they'll be selling it at a table, you know, and people will be lined up to buy it because that's how you buy calendars these days. That's what I think will happen there. We got a quick video package. The family says they're going to take care of business. And
loved this promo.
Tell me about Rizzo, but also tell me a bit about OTM and Jada Parker, who kind of taken over the leadership role.
I want to see Rizzo versus Parker in a one-on-one match. I think they're going to get into it outside the ring during this tag champion match. But that shot at the end, when you had the D'Angelo family walking in slow motion, it was on screen for a second. That was so money. OTM kind of flipped it tonight because in the past, they've done more promos that were about like their street cred. And tonight, just them sitting around and talking. I actually think this was a really good chance to like know more about OTM and see them as individuals beyond the gimmick. Like, I really like this tonight. I'm looking forward to this match. I'm worried the D'Angelos are going to lose. But I'll tell you, though, I just need to state this again. When the Wolf Dogs win, given that Braun's talking about his unfinished business with Judgment Day, I hope they don't challenge the D'Angelos. I hope they get a main roster tag match against Judgment Day.
Real quick, I got to throw this out here. Beer Money says, is JC secretly taking over Chase U to rename it to Jace U?
That was the meme like a month ago. But I made a logo, Jack. I tweeted.
Oh, did you really? Everything. I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, I made a Jace U logo. I mean, I just replaced Chase with Jace. It was pretty simple. But, you know, maybe, but I don't know. I'm curious where they go from here.
Like I said, I think we're going to go more love square with those people.
Love square.
But I love Rizzo. Rizzo's so likable. The only thing I didn't I guess I didn't enjoy about this is they were trying to build her up as this tough, mean person who beats people up. And I was like, she's so lovable. She's not as tough.
Is there video out there? Is that her actual voice? Because now I'm really curious.
Like, she seems cool. Like, I like her.
I'm just curious. Is that her actual speaking voice? Or is she really dialing it up to 35 for the character?
Let me ask you this, Glenn. Would you like it better if that was like, oh, she's authentically, that's her voice? Or would you like it better if she's such a good performer, she's able to change her voice and do that accent?
I think she's such a good performer that she's like Daniel Day-Lewis and she's working with a dialect coach. If that's her real voice, that's how she got the job. Like, somebody listened to the way she talks and her mannerisms, it was like, you need to be in the D'Angelo family.
Beer Money says, or does JC take Thea's man? She's definitely, see, that's what I'm saying. I think she's gonna get Riley and not Thea. But yeah, I love Rizzo. I think she's great for TV and OTM. I agree. I like this package here. Again, I keep feeling like if you're a Reggie though, if you're Scripps, watch out, because now that Jada Parker's running things, I'm wondering, Scripps, what's your role in this group?
Yeah.
We got Ariana Grace trying to help guide the young Sinclair, but then the thick, musky air of a rancher wafted in and stopped her dead in her tracks. Brooks also tried to talk to Fallon, but she didn't care because she doesn't care about you if you're not a rancher, and she's too busy trying to get Ren Sinclair trapped in a life of ranching. We get the fight between Ariana Grace and Fallon Henley. Some tough fighting from Henley. We got some great character work from Ariana Grace. Metaphor comes out to attack Henley, and they help Grace get the win. These are two people who Fallon Henley is definitely building up who she is and her wins and her fighting spirit, as we would say. But Ariana Grace, we talk about character work.
Oh my God.
I mean,
well,
this is main roster level talent of character work.
Speaking of character work, I just muted myself because I was searching Rizzo's real shoot name and history as a track and field athlete and found a video. And her real voice is two octaves higher register. She's definitely lowering it a little bit to fit in with the D'Angelo family.
I mean, I don't, that's what I try to do whenever I'm around tough guys. I'm like, hey, what's up? How's it going? I'm Jack Farmer.
Oh, I do that too. On the phone sometimes I get, ma'am, can I help you? And I'm just like, darn it, again? About this stuff when I was a kid, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about you, but I have pets. And so whenever I talk to them, I'm
my God.
Well, how's it going, little buddy? And then I get on this, like, so we're going to talk about the show. I mean, we're going to talk about some pro wrestling, everybody.
If people heard the way I talk to my cats,
I would be so embarrassed if someone caught me, like, on camera, the way I talk to my cat.
The songs I sing about my cats to my cats, the things I say. Yeah, that would be kill all my credibility. Well, little credibility I have.
Yeah, I definitely, like I said, I'd be game over for me.
Yeah. Ariana Grace, amazing character work. She is indeed Miss NXT, absolute superstar. I think Fallon is good. I mean, for a rancher. But
careful.
Ariana is yes, Ariana, this is the problem is if they call her to the main roster, they're not gonna call her Miss WWE. Maybe Miss SmackDown or Miss Raw, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work. This is the problem. Ariana Grace is doing amazing work for a character that I don't think works on the main roster.
Huh. I mean, you're right, because they do sort of water down the characters once they get up to the main roster. And I don't say that in a negative. I'm not trying to say that in like a, I don't know how to use them, but like, I think because it's a broader audience, you have to sort of broaden some of these people when they get up there. And so, because I don't know if there's that many characters like that, like Ariana Grace, but hey, maybe that's what makes her stand out.
Stratton, I think, is going to be the same character on the main roster, probably even with a little more of an edge and abrasive. But I think the way you could do it on the main roster is you could say, ooh, actually, here's an interest. I would say they can't do this now given real life circumstances. But if you wait like a year, you bring her to the main roster. No, here, man. Not like that. But you bring her to the main roster and you say that she's a pageant winner in all 50 states, you know, contender right. for every title. And we've brought her in to class up WWE. And it's sort of a little like Lacey Evans 1.0 sort of thing. Yeah, we have the idea that she's there to like, she's there to, you know, not, you can't do the, again, the Lacey Evans thing, but the idea to like, to be a true representative champion, to up the image, like you can do it, but again, you can't do this right now. You probably can't do it for a year, but that's the only way the character translates.
I think she'll find it. She's so like this.
She's so good though.
This, she never breaks that character at any point. And everything she does, like, I love the little bit where she covered her face and then she like peeked over and then got punched. It's great. It's just it, and the way she gets the cheap win, but still like, thank you. Like, it's just everything is, she never stops playing the character in the middle of the match. Like so many people will do sometimes where they're like, okay, now I'm just wrestling. She is always the pageant queen.
And it works so well on NXT. What she's doing is like an A+ indie gimmick, and it works in NXT. I don't know it works on the main roster. Like, and I'm worried. But if I had my way, Jack, no one would ever leave NXT. NXT is the destination, not the journey.
It would be like they'd have the most stacked roster ever. Oh, Roman Reigns later on NXT.
Roman Reigns in a suit talking like a motivational speaker still.
That would see, you know, what'd be fun is if every now and again, I get why they don't do it, but it'd be fun if they did, like, you know, they always do retro Raws and stuff like that. It'd be fun if they did retro NXT and they did bring back some people, but they had them use their old gimmicks for and just act like nothing had changed. Like, it'd be, this would ruin Roman Reigns. So I get why they wouldn't do it. But yeah, if he did come back and do that, that would be the greatest thing. That'd be so fun to see, or just all the characters that have left, but then like, come back and they do their old shtick. Like if Becky Lynch did the river dancing thing, like that'd be hilarious. We'd have such a fun time. It'd be such a, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure some of them fought so hard to get away from it. They'd never want to do it again, but
I know
it'd be a fun night.
No, absolutely. But she is killing it. And this was a good match overall.
What did you think about the Heritage Cup? Because again, I love the Heritage Cup. I love these matches. I don't know if they translate on the state side as well, because they're always doing picture in picture and they don't really talk about the strategy of the wrestler. But were you surprised Noam Dar got a pretty straight up win here against Wagner?
Yeah. I mean, it was nice of Mr. Stone to bring Von Wagner's kids to sit at ringside. But no, I think this was an okay match. It felt kind of like, this is the main event, huh? Because we had the overage with everything else. Von Wagner was doing stuff on the main roster like a little over a year ago. I think Von Wagner is one of those like in limbo guys, you know?
Yeah. Which would make sense why he didn't win, because if they're like, well, you're going to get called up any day now.
And him and Mr. Stone on the main roster would be a lot of fun.
I think it would, especially I was thinking, and this is me being a fan of pro wrestling, is I like Wagner's style where he's kind of just like a brute and sort of like beats people up. He doesn't necessarily do a lot of pro wrestling. He just kind of tackles you, throws you around, gets on you and starts punching you in the face and that kind of stuff. And man, this is going to sound like a joke, but no one puts people through a table like Von Wagner does. Did you see that? The announce table exploded when he put him through the table this time. But Glenn, this goes back to what I've been saying for a while about Von Wagner, is I love the vignettes. I love the videos. I think they're all great, but now it's been like months since this guy has won a match. I can't keep caring about this guy's journey if he's not getting wins.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Cause remember he had that segment, dinner with the kids last year. And then we didn't hear from him for like 6 weeks in between. Right. So he's in a very strange place now, but it's good he's getting TV time. Still don't fully understand the Heritage Cup rules, much like Spencer Webb in the chat. And this was fine. Noam Dar retaining, probably the right move. And again, if no one understands the rules, how can anybody beat Noam Dar if he's the only one that understands the rules?
Which is, I feel like only Noam Dar could pull off, I'm the best at this thing that no one else can understand. Like it,
which is actually brilliant. Jack, you need to invent your own game that only you understand so you could be the undefeated champion.
Right. There's certain rules that if you break, you lose. And I'm the only one that knows those rules.
Yeah.
That's even better than me being the king of the spa day match.
Wait, what? What's this with the spa day match?
Yeah, I am the king of the spa day match. So if anyone tries, you know, basically what happens is we have a spa day and Glenn, no one beats me at a spa day. I'm really good at it. Something else that's really good. This was quick, but we use words like face and heel, like to talk about who good guys and bad guys are and all this other stuff. Man, you can tell me until you're blue in the face, the Wolf Dogs are heels, but man, who isn't cheering for these two? These guys are like, I get it. I get what people are saying when they say these guys are faces, man. We all want to see Wolf Dogs win, right?
Baron Corbin as a Wolf Dog in that white t-shirt and leather jacket, dressing like a T-Bird from Greece, doesn't get much better than that.
These guys are look, I know people always wait for this big moment that makes them, you know, good guys or bad guys or whatever. If you want them to win, they're the good guy. And I think everyone wants these guys to win. They're fantastic. This has been just an absolute treasure for them together. Even the leaving Braun hanging at the end and then coming back. Like, I knew you were coming back. It was great. It's not a lot to pull from it, but just these guys are great. They're everyone's favorites.
It was good. This last segment, it's weird how they, the Dragunov hug is interesting.
I was actually very confused by this because obviously it's a promo before their fight. And they, you know, Trick is like saying, it sounds like he's listening to Melo and saying, I don't trust you anymore. Ilya's like, hey, you should doubt this guy, which also makes Ilya sound like he's someone you shouldn't trust. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was actually going to ask you the hug seemed weird. I don't know if it was like a poorly timed situation, but did Ilya say something to him or was there something he was supposed to say? They hug. Like,
yeah, I know.
Weird look on his face. And then
I know. Was they squeezing his hand? Like I'm hugging you, but I'm also gripping you so intensely tight that it's hurting you. Like, it was just odd. I didn't fully get it. And then the fact that, it turns into a big, everybody comes out and starts fighting, you know?
I feel like something was missed there or like maybe the Wolf Dogs were supposed to attack before the hug or something. And so they kind of got stuck there, but Trick had this look on his face. Like someone had just like stabbed him in the back or something. But it was just a hug. And then did he see them coming? But then why didn't he do something? Why did he just sit there? I don't know. It was a weird, I think the truth is it was a timing issue. But
maybe he recognized the hands as the ones that attacked him.
Oh, like after he's like,
like, I know that embrace.
Yeah. Like after I was attacked, someone embraced me.
No, like the feel of his hands. He's like, I felt these hands grab me and beat me up. And now I don't know. I'm trying.
Yeah. It was a weird Beer Money saying, feel like it was a version of the Godfather kiss, like I'm about to kill you type thing, which I get, but it would make Trick seem like a chump if he was like, I'm not scared of you, kiss of death. Oh,
now I take this seriously.
So it was just, I don't know. It was kind of a weird, I get where they were going. So I give it a pass, but like I said, this seemed awkward.
And then the Wolf Dogs attack out of nowhere the way Wolf Dogs do.
Oh, yeah. As you know, that's like rule number three in being a good Wolf Dog. I think, by the way, Carmelo seemed totally trustable, did nothing wrong. Ilya was the one that kept trying to play a mind game saying, don't trust your friend. Don't trust your friend. I don't know. I stand by it. I think Ilya's the villain, and I think that Carmelo is just being railroaded here, Glenn.
Well, we'll know more this Sunday, Adventions Day.
So yeah, if that does it for this week's episode, everyone in the chat, let us know what you thought of the show. Addison, Goodfella, Alicia, Spencer, Goodfella. Did I say Goodfella already? I'll say it again. Baby Ice, everyone else. Let us know what you thought of the show. Glenn, overall thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
Looking forward to Vengeance Day. You can find me at Glenn Rubenstein, and Issa and I will make our reunion happen Friday night for SmackDown on this very podcast.
Yeah, that will be fun. You got to make sure to check that out. You can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media.
Not the fake Jack Farmers, the real Jack Farmer.
Nope. The real deal. I thought I was so clever when I picked that name years ago. I was like, I'm so cool. The real one. I'm like, oh, it's corny, but now I'm stuck with it. I'm hosting the AEW after show for Dynamite going forward. So you can check that out right here on Wrestling Inc. Nice. Tomorrow. Also, you know, I'm doing commentary for Santino Bros Wrestling on Sunday. Mm. You can get that on Fight TV. We're having Fight Night 11, a fun little show. So you can check that out and see some really cool up and coming wrestlers there. Glenn, I think that does it for us. I'm going to hit the end stream button, but I'll let you say the last words as we wait for it to slowly sign us off and go.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.